So if I cough, it's not COVID. Okay? Just get that this morning. It's not. Unless I picked it up this morning, all right? But as of yesterday, no COVID, all right? But I do have quite an infection in my lungs and my chest. And the doctor told me, I asked him, I said, is it contagious? He said, only if you cough directly in somebody's face. So if I coughed in your face this morning, that means we're not really friends. Man, I was just wanting to give you a gift. Amen. Oh, sorry, I can't laugh when I start coughing. But I'm going to apologize because most of you probably won't remember, but I've preached this message before. And some of you are like, I don't remember. Well, of course you don't. But it'll probably sound different because the outline will be basically the same, but where the Lord leads us is always a little different. The book of Jude is a book of action. If you've not found it, go to the book of Genesis and then go all the way to Revelation and then turn back a little bit, okay? And it's right there. Jude chapter number 1. Chapter number 1, all right? Yeah, some of you are like, what? Yeah, it's only got one chapter in it. Jude started off. He said, I wanted to write a great flowery letter to all you people. He said, that's just what God had laid on my heart. But then he said, Lord led me in a different direction. And that's what happens. He begins to warn about what's going on and what could happen. He encourages the people to earnestly contend for the faith because if we're not careful, things will creep in unaware in our lives. And I don't know about you guys, but especially whenever you don't feel very well, it's easy for your guard to be let down and for, you know, it's just the doubts and all those things will creep in unaware. You say, I don't want that in my life. And that's the reason why we're going to talk today about developing a faith that works. Developing a faith that works in your life. The Christian life is no good unless it works in our life, unless it's real. It's got to be real to us. And I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad there's a kingdom coming. And what a great message in that song. I'm glad for all that. But I've got to live now. I remember having a Bible college professor. He said, we sing about the sweet by and by, nasty now and now. So we got to learn how we're going to navigate these waters. How are we going to live in this day and time in which we have some help? So let's read verse 17. We'll pick it up there. And maybe you circle some things in your Bible. I have words circled. I have notes in the margin of my Bible. I'm ready to get a new Bible, but I'm hesitant because I have so many notes and all in here. Every time I get a new Bible, I start fresh. I don't transfer over notes or anything. And I don't know what I'm going to do. And so I'm kind of caught in between. Plus, Bibles are really expensive nowadays. And I have a really nice Cambridge Bible, and I really like it. It's a goat skin, you know, because Tina has goats. So I got a goat skin Bible in honor of our goats. And in fact, whenever they're acting up, I pull this out and I say, hey, this is what you can become. Get back in the fence, all right? Amen. You can either live a happy life or you become a Bible cover. Amen. But so I was looking around. I Googled them and I called the place that I got this one from about 6 or 7 years ago. And they said, oh, yeah, we have those in stock, $235. And I thought, this one's not so bad. But I enjoy reading portions of it and I see words that I've circled. And sometimes I'm like, why don't I circle that word? Man, I begin to meditate on it, and oftentimes the Lord reveals why. So I encourage you, make notes in your Bible. If you use a tablet and you have some kind of electronic, put notes in there. Underline, highlight things. Whenever the Word of God speaks to you, make note of it. Because here's what I'm going to tell you. You're going to be that way again. That path, you're going to be in that same place again in your life one day, and you're going to open up the Word of God. And you're going to need that sermon from you 5 years from now. And all God's people said, because there are things that God takes us through today and we're learning and we're growing. And then before we know it, we're almost in the same exact position again. And we're like, oh, what do I do? And I'm reading my Bible and God says, hey, I helped you through here. Remember that word and that note? And I'm like, yes, Lord, thank you. So Jude says this, but beloved, notice the first little action word here is remember. Remember. Remember ye the words which are spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, you remember what the apostles wrote? You remember what Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John contained? You remember what the apostle Paul wrote? Remember what they wrote. And notice what he says in verse 18. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. You can put beside there 2022. We're seeing that all through our society today. It says, these be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. And then verse number 20, he says, but ye beloved, notice, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. He says, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of an ungodly society, he says, I want to challenge you to build up yourselves on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Don't neglect prayer. Verse 21, he says, keep yourselves in the love of God. I think of that song, Prone to Wander, Lord, I Feel It. Keep. Keep pulling yourself back to there. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Why? Because there's a kingdom coming. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by flesh. You know, there's some that we watch as you know that they're burning, you know that their lives are leading them in a downward spiral and out of control. He says, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh, pulling them out of the fire. Sometimes you've got to reach in there and try to help them. By the way, not everybody that needs help will accept your help, but that doesn't mean that you'd quit trying. Don't give up. Somebody didn't give up on you. Amen. Somebody didn't give up on me, and I'm glad. Verse 24 and 25, we could call the doxology of Jude. He says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion, power, both now and ever. Amen. He says, I don't know how to end it, so we'll just end it with amen. He just kind of said, I'm done. This is it. In the Bible, the word faith is used in two basic ways. One way it refers to a set of beliefs, what we would say, or what we would call today, doctrine. I have a friend of mine, missionary Spencer Smith, has created a series of YouTube videos. Excuse me, I'm a cough. But I don't have COVID. Just won't throw that in there. I'll wash my hands and all before I greet everybody by the back today. And if you don't want to shake my hand, that's fine. I won't take it personally today. Right? But it's a set of belief. Doctrine matters. Doctrines are those basic beliefs that we have, that there's a God in heaven. Jesus Christ is His Son. The Bible's the Word of God. Salvation is free and can only be attained through accepting, receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. That's a doctrine. But it also refers to, the word faith refers to an expression of confidence, maybe in the Word of God, an expression of confidence in the Word of God or in the promises of God. And we have, you know, you say, well, I have faith in that. I have faith in that. Jude, though, is referring to the set of beliefs, what you believe. He says, build upon your most holy faith. See, if I really believe in my heart that there is a God, if I really believe in my heart that the promises of God are true, then my faith will grow. It'll develop. It's something that I can live out. There's a story of a man. Some of you will not remember the sermon, but some of you will remember the story. story of a man that was in a desert. He'd been wandering in the desert, got lost, got off track, no water, came up on a shack. Shack had one of those old-style pitcher pumps. How many of you know what I'm talking about? All right, seen one of those, all right? And hanging beside it was a jug of water with a note. The man was thirsty. He had not had a drink in several days now. He was beyond thirsty. He saw that jug of water and he thought, there it is, there's hope. The note said, use water in the pump. In fact, it said, use all the water in the pump. Can you imagine? The man now is struggling. What do I do? I'm thirsty. Here's water. Or do I take this water and dump it down that well, hoping that that will prime it and more water will come out? He had a choice. Obey and live, or disobey and die. Sometimes we don't live out our Christian life because we don't take what little bit of faith we have and put it in God. Sometimes we try to live by our own faith. How many of you realize that our faith is rather short sometimes? Amen. It won't sustain me for very long. But how many in here have experienced whenever you pour what little bit of faith, how many of you ever felt like the disciples that said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief? How many ever felt like that before? You've poured your little bit of faith into God and said, God, I'm hoping. I know what you say, and I hope that that's true. I believe that it's true, but God, I really doubt a lot. But I'm still going to try to trust you. How many of you have seen God work some miracles out of that before? You know why? Because when you take all of your water and you dump it into there and you begin to pump that handle, guess what happens? It primes that pump and water comes out of there. Jude admonishes us to build our life on the faith that we have. He says, you take what you have, where you're at right now, and you pour that back into God and let Him do something with it. So how does a Christian develop a life of great faith? Number one, Amber, today, I don't know if it's going to work for me to punch it or not, so you're going to have to do it. So number one, by the declaration of the Word of God. What does God's Word declare? What does it say? Well, the Word of God produces faith. The Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You say, I'm struggling in my faith. What do I do? Listen to the Word of God. Let the Bible become part of your life. Listen to it on YouVersion, the app on your phone. Read it. Heed it. Just allow the Word of God to get into your heart and your life. You'll be amazed at what will happen if you'll just listen to the Bible. Just read it. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. There's something living about this book that we hold in our laps today. The Word of God will produce faith. It produced faith for us to trust Jesus for salvation. It wasn't until the Word of God came into our hearts and our lives that we were able to reach out and say, I receive you. I believe you. The Word of God not only produces faith, but it will propagate faith. It will extend your faith. It'll multiply it. I read somewhere, I've never counted them. If one of you guys want to do that, that'll be great. But apparently some people have more time on their hand than they know what to do with. There are 32,000 promises in the Word of God. Now, I don't have any proof that that is yay or nay. But that sounds like a good number. I see throughout the Word of God, God promises things. I've read as over and over as God promised things. And people just like me and you stepped out, and God did miraculous things. The Bible says Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the faith, giving glory to God. What did God promise Abraham? Abraham, you're going to have a son, and out of your son is going to rise many descendants. Did Abraham struggle with that? Of course, at times he did. Did he even kind of get around that a little bit? Yes, he did. But in the end, what did he do? He trusted God. And in the end, guess what? God kept his promise. God told that group of Israelites, he said, hey, if you'll march around the walls of Jericho one time every day, and on the seventh day, if you'll march around it seven times, you shout, blow trumpets, the walls will fall down. What? Guess what they did? How many of you believe that every day whenever they were walking around the wall, that there were some in the group thinking, this ain't going to work? I'm going to tell you, if I'd have been there, you would have heard me. This ain't going to work. This is crazy. And on the seventh day, they tell them, hey, Joshua says, got good news and bad news. The good news is, today God's going to keep his promise. The bad news, we've got to walk around the wall seven times. By this time, I got an idea that the people of Jericho would probably stand on the walls mocking and laughing at them. Amen? That's how the world is. One time, two time, I'm in the group. This ain't going to work. This is crazy. This is the craziest thing I ever heard. Really? Seven, woo, blood trumpet, shout. Guess what happened? You ready? You know what happened, don't you? What? Let's say it together. The wall fell down. Let's say that. Ready? The wall. Can we say this? God kept his promise. And all God's people said, I don't know about you. God never asked me to walk around a wall seven times. But he's asked me to do some things that I thought, this isn't going to work. Whenever I read the Word of God, when we read the Word of God, it's amazing what it will do in our heart and our life. Why? Because the Word of God declares that God is real. The Word of God declares that God keeps His promises. That's what the entire Old Testament is about. God keeping His promise. Promise after promise after promise after promise. You know why? Because in the day and time in which we live, we see God keeping His promise after promise after promise after promise. And there's some yet future ones. Wade Rhett sang about it this morning. There's a kingdom coming. How do you know that? Because God kept every other promise. He's keeping that one too. But we must hear the Word of God. Hear it. But sometimes we get caught up. Sorrow, here's a great quote. I didn't make it up, I just read it. Sorrow looks back, worry looks around, but faith looks up. Sometimes I look back and I have sorrow. Sorrow. Broken dreams, broken promises. Not broken promises from God, broken promises from me. Broken friendships. Have you ever looked back and thought, boy, if I could do that again, I'd do that different. Amen. Sorrow. Worry looks around and says, what am I going to do now? But faith says, I believe I'm just going to look up. I'm just going to trust God. We must hear the Word of God. Sound preaching. Sound preaching of the Word of God leads to strong faith. But it's two-way communication. The preacher must be ready to deliver, and the hearer must be ready to hear. You must come in today saying, I need something from God's Word. I'm going to listen for something. The whole sermon may not mean anything, but there may be one phrase, one verse, one word that God says, that's for you. That's why you can. We must read the Word of God. A LifeWay study conducted about 4 or 5 years ago found out that less than 40% of evangelical Christians, all right, and they lump us in that group, less than 40% of evangelical Christians read their Bible one time a week. You know why we struggle in our faith? Can I tell you something? You know why I struggle in my faith? Because my time right here is not what it ought to be. this book right here has every answer that I'll ever need. But can I tell you something? Everything in my life seems to target getting me away from that book. How many of you know that? Lord, I'm prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. It's like I read the Bible and squirrel. Some of y'all have seen the movie Up. If you haven't, it's a great movie. You'll cry. Oh, you'll cry. That guy with those bad dogs. Oh, I was so glad. Never mind. All right. How does a Christian develop a life of great faith? By the declaration of the Word of God. The Word of God will make a difference. Preacher, that's simple. Duh. It is, isn't it? Number two, by the application of God's Word. All right, let's do a quick poll. How many of you have invested any type of money in anything exercise or health related? How many of you have ever bought an exercise machine or an app or anything that would help you lose weight? Or how many have ever done that before? All right. How many of you, same show of hands, how many of you have done that, but you failed? By the way, an elliptical machine has great handles for hanging clothes on. Amen. That happens in the Word of God. We read it. Okay? We've made it past the first milestone. I'm reading the Word of God. It has answered for me. And God shines something on in my life, and I don't do it. See, it's one thing to hear the Word of God, to read the Word of God, but it's another thing to apply it. You say, where do we start? Well, verse number 20, notice what he says, but beloved, building up yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. We've got to learn to trust God. We've got to learn to trust God. Amber, I have some verses, I think, that go along with this. Put the first one up there. In God will I praise His Word. In God I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Wow. What a great verse. I read that verse. I didn't realize that verse was in the Bible. I thought, man, I need that. In God will I praise His Word. I know His Word has the answer. In God will I put my trust. I'll not fear what flesh can do to me. Psalm 56:4, in case the letters are not big enough for you. Next one, Amber. In God I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. You say, well, I'm not afraid what man can do to me. I'm not afraid what another man can do to me. You know who undermines my faith? Here, I'll put my hand over my biggest problem in my life. Right here. Under my hand is my biggest enemy. Amen? In every area. Next one, Emery. Jesus told those disciples, after he had just shared with them that one of them was going to deny him, one was going to betray him, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You get bad news, life not turn out like you thought it should, believe in God. There are 32,000 promises in the Word of God. The man at the well had to either trust what he read was true, either he was going to obey and live, or he was going to disobey and die. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. One night a house caught on fire. A little boy was stranded on the second story. flames and smoke were everywhere. And out of the chaos, he heard his father. His dad said, "Son, come to me." And the little boy cried and said, "But Daddy, I can't see you." And the dad said, "But I can see you, and that's all that matters. Come to me." Or sometimes that things are going on in our life, clouds, smoke. It's like, I can't see God, but out of that chaos, God says, "Come to me." And we may cry, "God, I can't see you." And God said, "That's okay. I can see you. That's all that matters." See, we've got to learn to trust Him. And then we must learn to obey Him. George Truett, longtime pastor of First Baptist Church of Dallas, he said this, "To know the will of God is our greatest knowledge. But to do the will of God is our greatest challenge." See, when I begin to read the Word of God, then God begins to reveal some things in my life, and I gain this knowledge. But next is the challenge. God says, "Trust me." And I'm like, "I don't want to." Amen? No. That didn't make any sense. Why would I walk around a wall for 7 days? How does a Christian develop a life of great faith? By the declaration of the Word of God. By the application of the Word of God. And number three, by beginning to separate from those things that distort their perception and view of God. By separation unto God and away from sin. You know what sin does? Sin distorts my view of God. Okay, let's see, today is February the 20th. Those of you that said, "I'm going to read my Bible every day," how you do it? In 2021, 2022, you're like, how many of you said, "I'm going to exercise every day"? I'm like, how you doing? All right. We start reading the Word of God. We get a truth out of it. Here, this little devotional, here's a great truth yesterday. I read this and I meditated on it. By the way, every day it gives you it says the gospel in you today. And here's what it said yesterday. And I was thinking about it and I meditated on it. And the thought is this: never let guilt or shame over past sins that you have confessed keep you from enjoying fellowship with God. Boy, it's so easy for the devil and the flesh to bring that up. But you know what? God doesn't do that. My sins are gone, gone, gone whenever I confess those. But I begin to read the Word of God and I see a truth and God says, "That's for you. Stop right there." And I'm looking at that and I begin to apply that in my life. Maybe God's dealing with forgiveness or bitterness or remembering, or I don't know what He's dealing with in your life, but I know what He does in my life. Maybe it's just about prayer. It's like, okay, God, I'm going to set aside a time and pray. How do I maintain that momentum? I begin to separate from those things. Because as I begin to read the Word of God, here's what He's going to do. He's going to begin to reveal some things in our life. One of the best ways to separate unto God and away from sin is this way. Begin to declare your faith. Begin to tell others what God is doing in your life. Don't just talk about God in general terms, but talk about specifically what He's doing in your life. How God's answering a prayer. How God's doing. Begin to declare your faith. The Bible says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up. Learn to tell others what God is doing in your life. So declare your faith. And then learn to defend your faith. We've kind of acquiesced in our culture and we've allowed a lot of things to kind of go, It's time for us to stand up. In fact, it's way past time for us. We should stand up and say, no, that's not right. You know, because we've allowed the word say, the world to say, well, you're just so judgmental. No, I'm not. It's not judgmental whenever we're declaring what God has condemned. Now, you don't have to be mean about it. But we do need to say something. We do need to defend our faith. Oftentimes, the one that we need to defend our faith most to is to ourselves. Amen? Because my biggest doubt doesn't come from what's going on in Washington or anyplace else. My biggest doubts come from what's going on in my heart. Come thou fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing. Call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, the rock, the foundation. Praise the mount. I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, the song says. An Ebenezer is a memorial stone. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I'm come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he rescued me from danger, interposed by his precious blood. Old of grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, like a chain, like a rope, like a hold, let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. How's your faith developing? How's your faith growing today? You say, how do I know? Okay, let me ask. Do you sense, do you believe that you're stronger in the faith now, today, than you were a year ago? Are you attending more church services or less? Are you giving more or less? I put this one in for me. Are you worrying more or less? Are you reading the Word of God on your own? What has God changed in your life in the last year? There's not a person in here, not a Christian in here, that in the last year God should not have changed. He should have done something in your life in the last year. Maybe in the last month, in the last week. What could be changed because of our last 30 minutes together today? Is there something? If there is, let's not just hear, but let's make a decision day to begin to apply. That's where it makes a difference. Maybe God's spoken to you about a sin. Maybe it's a sin of worry. I don't know. You put yours in there. Put what you're struggling with and begin to confess that to God and say, okay, God, I'm going to give that to you today. You'd be amazed at how your faith will begin to grow. So that whenever God asks you to march around the wall 7 times, maybe it's not until the 5th time that you begin to say, this is not work. Instead of saying the first, God begins to grow your faith little by little by little. Are you going to let Him? Heads bowed, eyes closed for Him.